Morning. Toby and Ty, would you set that whiteboard up here for me or help me, Ty? Grab a hold of it. I might use this here in a little bit, so we'll just have it up here.
Perfect.
Does anybody need these notes? All right. We'll decide here. Is there... Will you guys grab me a marker? Make sure it works. Only if Gabe's in the room. All right. How's everybody doing today? I'm wonderful. Thanks for asking, Joe. I got to find my notes. I wrote them here in the back. I don't know how much I'm going to file them anyways, but we'll get them out here. I was talking to Gabe. I wasn't here last week. And I asked Gabe, I said, what'd you talk on last week? And he said, kindness. So my question, what? Yeah, I'm not going to comment whether, I think Gabe has kindness or not. I'd probably lose that battle right now. Yes, thank you, Becky. Yeah, it's better if all of you comment whether Gabe has kindness or not than me. So my question, did anybody practice some kindness? Before you answer, and you don't have to, I'm asking you a rhetorical question. I think the takeaway from Gabe's message was, did you practice kindness that you didn't benefit from? Did you practice some kindness that no matter what the outcome was, it didn't matter? I'm not sure if I did, but I wasn't here last week, so I get an excuse. I get a pass card, but interesting conversation. So he said to me, what are you preaching on next week? And I said, love. And he said the main point of my message was that kindness is actually walking out love. Kindness is an expression of love. It's putting reality to a word. 2 weeks ago, the Lord dropped this in my heart about to share this, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to start there, but we're going to end up there. And it was on a Friday and a Saturday the Lord started speaking to me about 1 Corinthians 13, and I have it marked as the love chapter in my Bible. If you've read it, then you're familiar with it. But that Sunday, Josie did call to worship, and she came up here and said, I felt that the Lord told me I was just supposed to read 1 Corinthians 13. That's how that went, right? And I told her afterwards, I'm like, man, I just love it when the Lord does these confirmations, because literally like the first 2 days before that, the Lord had dropped this in my heart to share this. And so I'll be honest with you. Most of us, I'm going to speak about myself, and then you can add yourself to this. I'm somewhat tone deaf to love. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, when you think about our society, we use the word love very, very, very flippantly. And those of you who actually know me know that I am no English major. I barely got through high school. I might have passed English with a D or a D minus when I was a junior. The last, Jimmy's grinning because he's probably there as well. But I think I took literature as a senior year just so I could fake reading a book for English and get done with it. But we use the word love as a verb, describing things. Love can be used as a verb. It's also a noun. And I would challenge that most of what's in the Bible is referring to love in the form of a noun. I'm not saying I haven't read enough, to be honest. I started to look. Do you know how many times, you know what the most used word in the Bible is other than the these and you know, the little words? The most used word is Lord. God, reference to Him. And the Bible also tells us that He is love. So when you put those two together, the most used word in the Bible is love. But in my language, I don't use love in those terms. Most of the time, I do when I'm talking about my wife. I genuinely love my wife. And by definition, when I look those two definitions up, love as a noun is an intense feeling of deep affection. That's the noun description. An intense feeling of deep affection, that you genuinely care about something a lot. The word love in a verb form is a descriptive. I love apple pie. I love hunting. I love the fall of the year. I love, put in whatever works for you. But that is self-centered. It's describing what makes me happy. And that's not the love that we're talking about. It's not really what the love, it's not the love that Gabe is referring to. And that's why I ask you, did you give kindness with nothing in return? Because that's the love we're talking about. What if there's no benefit to you through this? What if you don't get what you want? And so I didn't really, as I was kind of digging into all this a little bit, I didn't really realize it's the center of everything. The love of God is the center of everything. And the Bible's really clear about it. There's not a bigger tool in the toolbox. There's not a more effective thing that can be done or used than the love of God. But you can't give what you don't have, and you can't give what you don't understand. So although you could have it, you could have experienced it, it's very difficult to give it back out unless you have actually had an encounter with it. And I've always said before, like, what happened to me when I had children is hard to describe until you've actually had children, right? So most of us in the room have had children. There's a fair amount of us that have not yet. But when you have a child, there's an agape love that comes inside of you that is about them and not about you. You would die for them. There's a place there. When they're little, that if they go in the lake, you're going in the lake. If they run out in the street, you're running out in the street, right? You get that from this thing that happens inside of you. And that's the love that we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So I want to go to, I was reading out of John 15, and I actually taught out of this a few months back here, but something jumped out at me. So turn to John 15 real quick. I want to read through this. I actually taught on this. I think I might have taught on it the last time I taught about fruit. And so something popped out here, and I just want to start. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read all of John 15, and well, no, I'm not. I'm going to read down to verse 17, but bear with me here. John 15, 1 says, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm going to stop right here a minute. If you remember, I was talking about abiding, and I said, I believe that it says abide in here like 10 times, and my focus that week was on the abiding. I'm picking back up here in verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9 is where it starts to change. He's already said abide, 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 right? Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. He just put a piece to the abiding that wasn't in the first 8 verses. Abide, abide, abide. And then all of a sudden Jesus says, as I was loved by my Father, I have loved you. Now abide in my love. Abide in this place. Abide in this place of deep affection that he has for you. We have been, most of my life, I've gone to church most of my life, and I've been told I need to love. The fact of the matter is, I don't know how. right? And I'm a very practical person. So when you, if you tell me that I need to go across the street, okay, and I believe now that I need to get across the street, I am frustrated if the person who told me to go across the street doesn't give me practical instruction about how to get across the street. So let's pretend that's a river. Street's pretty easy. You'd be like, hey, just walk across the street, right? Let's pretend that's a river. It's frustrating to me of how. It's been a point of contention between my parents and me when I was much younger. It was something that I would fight. I'd be like, hey, I get all this, but I have no clue how to make, I don't know how to make this work. And that, because of the way I'm wired, is very frustrating. Like don't tell me if there's not actually a path. Just let me stay here. But don't tell me I'm supposed to be over there if there's not a practical way. How do you love? How do you love? You experience it. You have to experience the love of God. And this is a huge thing that most of us, we are so busy evaluating our perspective of ourself that we can only see ourselves through the eyes of ourselves, and we have to back up and be like, what does God say? What's God saying about you? How does he view you? And only then and only then. See, kindness, as Gabe said, kindness is an act. It's acting it out. But I could pay it forward and never hear from the Holy Spirit, right? I could do a good thing. I know good people that do good things every day. And we're going to dig a little deeper because there's more than kindness. There's more things, and they're very clearly defined. But as you get deeper, and the older I get, the more I realize what I used to think I had figured out. So can I give a piece of advice to you younger people? If I could go back, I wish I would have been more flexible with what I believed, because I didn't know what I didn't know then. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't know anymore. I'm not any closer to knowing what I thought I knew then. Does that make any sense? God's a big God. And the closer you get to thinking you know exactly how it works, the more you're going to find out you don't know. And there's actually a peace in that. There's a peace that you come to of like, okay, I thought I had this all mapped out and it worked this way, and obviously it doesn't. The Lord, if there's something that the Lord has been saying to me this year specifically, all year long, I am not either or. I don't have to be either or. I can be both. I don't have to be in this box or that box. I can be both. I don't have to be, I don't fit in your slots, Chris. I might be all of them. I can be judge and I can be loving. I can be anything I want to be. When something happens in my life, first thing I want to do, especially when bad things happen, is I want to come in and be like, what happened? We need to get to the bottom of this. We need to figure this out, right? Something here, this fits somewhere. We made a mistake. We didn't make a mistake. Somebody's responsible, blah, 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 right? God's like, I don't fit in your slots. Best example of that, and you've heard me say this before, is Joshua. In Joshua chapter 5, when he's on the road to Jericho, and he encounters the commander of the Lord's army. God himself is who that was. Because it's the only place where God's like, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. That was not an angel. And Joshua, who has just brought everyone across the Jordan to go and actually conquer the promised land that they've been over here not doing what they were supposed to do for 40 years, as all this blessings happen on him, and all of a sudden he runs into the commander of the Lord's army. He's not looking for him. Do you recall the conversation? He says to the commander of the Lord's army, are you for us or against us? What'd the commander say? Neither. That wrecks Chris Pranger's world. What do you mean? How can it be neither? It has to be yes, right? I mean, you've certainly misspoke. Like, you came to me. I wasn't looking for you. I'm on this road and I encounter you, and you've called me to do all this, to lead these people. You told me just a few months ago, get up, Moses is dead. I'm going to take these people across the river. You know the story, right? Miraculous things had happened. And he runs into the commander of the Lord's army and he says, yeah, I'm not for you or against you. I will tell you, for months in my life, that hung me up. Like, okay, I don't like, The answer is obviously yes, God. It has to be yes, right? Finally, the Lord said, it's the wrong question. The question actually is, hey, Joshua, are you with me? Are you with me? What if it's not what you think it is? What if it's not the way you want it to be? Everything you think or believe, if it's not based in the relationship of God, it's going to get, well, let me back up. Everything you think or believe is going to get challenged. Period. Every doctrine that's out there, every belief system that's out there, it's going to be challenged. The anchor point is, do you understand how much you're loved? And what's the measurement? Because there's a measurement. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to put it on that board here in a few minutes. You can actually measure yourself from the Word of God. And better yet, most of us, I can look at a lot of people and decide whether there's love in their life or not. I'm really good at analyzing other people. This message is not about other people. It's about you. This isn't so you can go home and be like, I took these notes at church for you. No. These notes, if you take today, are about you, the person sitting between your elbows. Don't take them home and read them for somebody else. Verse 9. I wasn't even going to talk about all that stuff. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, now this gets interesting, follow me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's a commandment. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. They're connected to his love and the commandment of staying in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment. This is Jesus speaking, red letters. That you love one another as I have loved you. You cannot love unless you understand how you're loved. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. All of abiding, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is actually about abiding in his love for me. And when I learn to abide in his love for me, I can follow through with the commandment that I am to love outside of what I have experienced. This is the biggest thing that's missed in all of us. I'm going to keep going here, or I'm going to get sidetracked. Go back real quick to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Fruit of the Spirit. Verse 5, verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. I don't know if it's significant that it's first, but I think so. Joy. Because when you tie back, when you go back there, what does it say? Your joy will be complete. That's what we just read in John 15, right? From abiding in love, your joy will be complete. Patience. Oh, that's an interesting one. This is one of the things that goes right. What's right behind it? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let me add a few things to Gabe's message last week. You know what else is acting out? Love. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, guys, self-control is acting out love. They're not separate. They're fruit of the Spirit. I've already preached this message in the past. What's fruit of the Spirit? It's what comes out of living in the Spirit. If you abide in love, these things will come out of you. If you abide in the love the Father has for you, you'll be more patient. You'll have more self-control. You'll be more kind. You can't produce these things. If you take out the Spirit, you can produce them by how you feel. If everything's good, it's easy to be good, right? If everything's going good, it's easy to give a little money. If you've been blessed, it's easy to bless. What about blessing when you're not blessed? What about being kind when somebody's being really crappy to you? What about being kind to the person you really don't like? That's the difference. If they're fruit of the Spirit, it's what comes out of this life you're walking in the Spirit. And being in the Spirit is simply this, experiencing the love of the Father has for you. The love that God has for you. And it coming out. Olive said something last week that jumped off the page when she said it. She was reading in Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And she was reading several verses here, but she got down to 15 and she said, and it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in Him." Speaking the truth in love. That implies that you can speak the truth and not have love. That's how I read it. Is the truth enough if it's not coupled with love? I think that we're all aware that it's absolutely not.
I think you have to figure out what you're messing with. Is it the Lord or is it the devil at you?
I agree with that.
So, especially in business, if someone wants something from you.
Yes.
It's not easy.
The centering piece, though, is that when we get to the heart of the Father, it's easier to remove the feelings about the situation or the person that's involved.
It takes a little, you have to sit back and look at
all the deal.
Situation.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. Truth and love. I am a right fighter. That's not a good thing. Some people call me principled. I will tell you that that can be a negative more than it's a positive. I'm very tuned into what I believe and why I believe. I'm opinionated. If you're a right fighter, you'll probably be opinionated. If you're a principled person, you'll have an opinion. It doesn't take you long to get to that. Okay? Someone in my personality can lose sight of love very quickly with the facts of truth. What's our legal system looking for in any case? The truth, right? That system is bring people in, sort out the facts, really don't care about the people. As a matter of fact, it's better not to care about the people if you want to get to the truth. That's not God's system. That's the United States legal system. That's been in place for 200 and some years. That's not God's system, but it makes sense. Makes sense to me. If these two people are involved, take that person over there, interrogate them over there, take that person over there, interrogate. I don't care about them. I'm only looking for the truth. That is not God's system. The truth is second if the person becomes the collateral damage. I told you guys how I learned this. I was watching Dr. Phil one afternoon and no one was in our house. You guys have heard me tell this, right? So I came home one day and we have a TV in our bedroom. Nobody was there and TV was on. That TV's never on. And I went in to change clothes because I was going outside and work. And Dr. Phil was talking to a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Common theme was her son, her husband. And they did not get along. I don't remember what the detail was. But I end up sitting on the bed watching Dr. Phil at 3:30 in the afternoon. And as I'm watching the mother-in-law, I'm like, she's right. Like, this point that they are at war about, like, mother-in-law's right. And so, gets done, Dr. Phil summarizes, and he looks at the mother-in-law, and he said, you're right. You're right. You're more right than she is. But he said, you're right, fighter. And he said, are you willing, as a right fighter, to sacrifice your relationship with her to be right? You're right. Are you willing to surrender this relationship to be right? That's when I just like, wow, that's pretty good. Shut it off. And I got up, stuck my boots on, and walked out to the barn. And when I was walking to the barn, I literally felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say, Chris, you're a right fighter. I stopped going to the barn, like, oh, that's a little painful. You're a right fighter. You're willing to surrender relationship to be right. You're willing to say whatever you want to say without love to be right. And I'm like, and instantly there was two people that popped in my mind that I had said some things to. I was right. They said I was right. But I didn't deliver it in love. Is the relationship more important? To God, it's always more important. God is only about people. Don't forget that. In the midst of whatever business deal, Jimmy, he still cares about those people. And you might be the tool for them. I'm not saying you are or you're not. I'm just saying that it's always about people. All this stuff's going to go away. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. I will tell you, in the last 2 weeks, I've read all of 1 Corinthians multiple times. I've read this multiple times. I've been stuck on the first three verses over and over. They're not going to be new to you, but I want you to think about what they're saying. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You know who fits in that category? People like Daniel. The greatest prophets. If you read that, if you have everything that makes us say, that's a spiritually significant person, I wish I could be that person. Go through the greatest people in the Bible. If they had all this insight into God, those verses say that if you have that and you don't have love, you missed it. I've read that my whole life. Do you know how significant that is? Think about the men and the women in the Bible that heard dreams from God. God revealed mysteries to them. It says you can have all that knowledge. You can have all that wisdom. If you have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. That's pretty significant stuff. And you have not love, you have nothing. I'm hung up here. I've been hung up here. How did Chris Pranger miss the significance of how important it is to love over all other things? How did I miss the point that I could be super smart spiritually, which I'm not, never thought I was. But you could be all these things, and yet you don't have love. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices at the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. That's a powerful verse. All of this is going to pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Grow up. I'm not reading anymore. Grow up. This is what this is saying. Grow up. Understand my love. Walk in what I'm calling you to walk in. Stop fighting for yourself. Stop making it all about you. Speaking to me, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at myself. I've been living this nightmare. For now we see in a mirror dimly. This is me. I've been looking in this mirror. But then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. I'm known by my Father. I'm loved by my Father. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest is love. The greatest is love. I wrote these down real quick. Does this marker work, guys? Was there a marker? Did anybody find a marker? So I broke this down. I'm going to move this so I don't fall off the steps. I wrote this down this morning. I broke down 1 Corinthians 13. Here's your guide. Here's your guide to whether you're loving or not loving. Love is, according to 1 Corinthians 13, it's patient. It's kind. It rejoices. In truth. That's different. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. If you're parents and you have adult children, if you know, you know. Right? Bears all things. It helps you get through things. It believes. Whoops. It hopes. It endures. And it never ends. That's what 1 Corinthians says that love is. Do you know what it says love is not? Love is not envious. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on having my way. That's a big one for me. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrong doing. That's what 1 Corinthians says. Where are you living? Where's your life? Maybe you got some relationship issues you're dealing with. I do. Anybody got some business problems you're dealing with? I do. Anybody got friend issues you're dealing with? I do. I don't mind. I'll be the first one to tell you. Life's messy. People are messy. Kids are messy. Family's messy. Relationships are messy. Friends are messy. The easiest thing for me, because I'm human, is I start here. I start right here. I start on this side of the board, because more than likely, if I'm not focused on my relationship with the Spirit, I'm probably not there. I'm probably not here. Those are where I need to be, but I start going down through here. Am I envious? Yeah, maybe. Am I boastful? It depends on the day. Arrogant? Sometimes. Rude? Yeah, very capable. Instant of having, is this my focus? I want my way. And I want people to understand I have a reason behind it, right? I'm caught up in that business deal and that situation, and I'm questioning these people's motives, and I know those people, so I'm really questioning the motive, and it's bothering me. And you need to understand about this. And it makes me irritable. So this right here can make me rude. It can make me irritable. It can make me resentful. I've had a crappy 2 weeks. I'm not going into the details. Earlier this week, the Lord told me, I'm not supposed to probably say that on a microphone, right? Call this person. Call this person and have them pray for you. And I did. And this person prayed for me and then started sending me stuff. And it's one of those times where the Lord's like, I want you to sit down. I want you to stop everything you're doing. I'm in the middle of harvest. I'm in the middle of dealing with a big problem. I got all sorts of stuff going on. And the Lord said, sit down. I need you to hear what he sent you. The message was simply this. You have got to sit down and experience the love of the Father and let him do what you're trying to do. And in an hour from now, you're still going to have to get up and go out and do physically things. You're not going to sit in here and hope that the Holy Spirit's going to and wave a magic wand and this is going to get fixed and that's going to get fixed. You're going to work. I need you to work from a position that's not riddled in this. It's not irritated about this. I need you to let my kindness overwhelm you. I need you to stop and step back and know that I'm for you, not against you. And that the relationship that you can't fix, I can. The places you can't go, I can. What Gabe shared with you, this comes out of understanding how much you actually are loved. It's a result. It's a fruit. If you go out and you do it just out of your ability, you're going to do it out of your ability. It's totally different. It's totally different when you begin and you're hearing God, you're understanding what his heart is, you're understanding, and all of a sudden this collision happens with people and you're there at the right time, and your act of kindness is more than an act of kindness. It meets them where they're at because they're looking for something from God, and you brought the answer. It's what God's about. He doesn't care about this building. Don't care about your house. Western culture, we're so hung up on us. The first motive we are is as if God's going to replenish what we have. We're missing it. Okay. So our family had a house fire. House fire's going to get fixed. People are still here. Is it inconvenient? Yes. It's stuff. And when your stuff becomes bigger than the people, you've missed it. Because all our stuff is going in a hole, or a garage sale, or a farm sale, or a combination of all the above. Someday, everything we've lived for is not going in a box with us. Legacy will be what you left in your kids. It'll be what you left in the neighbor. It will be how you loved. Who's showing up at your funeral to be like, that person changed my life? That person met me, and he didn't have to. He just showed up, and he did this, and I knew it was from God because he had nothing to gain from it. I'm guilty. I'm not yelling at anybody in the room. I'm preaching to Chris Pranger today. This is what the Lord's telling me, and I'm just throwing it out to you. If it fits, it fits. Great. I don't have it figured out. I'm not a good Christian. I don't walk out love very well. I don't walk out not being rude very well. I try not to. There's times it's just like, ask me the wrong question, and I'm going to fly off the handle. I'm proud. I made it 2 weeks in my life. I'm 57. I did not snap in the last 2 weeks. I felt the Father told me last night, good job. I'm like a teapot, and I've been boiling. I just managed to keep the lid on because of what was in the text message that came from another body of member of the body of Christ. Because I can tell you, even a year ago, you would have heard the lid blow off of that at your house, and I don't even know where you live. Jimmy would have heard it. Jimmy and Michelle have had the unfortunate... My boys blew up 5 or 10 pounds of Tannerite several years ago, and Michelle called and said, the windows in our house rattled. Is everyone okay there? Do you remember that? It might have been as loud as the Tannerite. It matters. Don't miss this point. This isn't about us getting love right if we don't get an understanding of how much God loves us. It starts here. It starts in you. You can't give what you don't have. You can't explain what you don't understand. We are deeply, deeply loved. And through that understanding, it helps us love. It helps us look. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a backstory. Everybody that irritates me has got a backstory. People act the way they act for reasons. I act the way I act for reasons. So do you. What's your story? Do you love? Evaluate yourself. That's not for the neighbor. That's not for one of your kids. That's not for your spouse, except mine. I told her she needed to work on that right side a little bit. That's for you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. Lord, the Bible from front to back is love, your love. Everything you've done is love. You only give. You only care. You continue to come back. Your enduring patience far exceeds anything we can think or imagine. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for your grace and your love that we can feel it, we can experience it, we can know it, we can see it. Lord, I just ask that you would just be real in all of our lives this week and help us to evaluate ourselves and not to take any of this for someone else, but for ourselves individually. Lord, I thank you for the families that are here today, the blessing of this town, our neighborhood, all that's going on here, and I ask that your blessing be poured out. I thank you that you love us through every situation. You deliver us through all situations. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week. Enjoy this beautiful fall day.